Thank you, Uncle Bill. And with that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And once again, before getting into the word, I just want to give a thanks to God for the talents and the gifts of the people of this congregation, for our music staff that has so much talent that they continue to share with us on Sunday mornings being here, for those that have the audio and video gifts that they share, for obviously those with the artistic talents that bring such beauty into our sanctuary. We give thanks for each and every one of you. Can I get an applause from at home? But as we look at talents this morning, we consider the talent and the gift of God to be able to create this beautiful earth and all of the details and wonders that went into it. As I was thinking about it this week and spending time thinking about my favorite places in creation, thinking about the times that I've spent camping and climbing and spelunking in Joshua Tree National Park, thinking about seeing the huge trees in Sequoia, sitting in wonder and awe, looking at Half Dome and El Capitan in Yosemite, rafting down the Kern River, spending time on a surfboard in the ocean. And if you haven't heard it before, I don't actually surf and have never surfed. I've just sat on a surfboard in the ocean and enjoyed the water because, yeah, it just worked. But then I was thinking about a year and a half ago when the kids and I took a road trip up north. And for all of us, it was our first time crossing the northern border of California and going into Oregon. I've never gone north of Sacramento and San Francisco, but here we went up into Klamath and spent time looking at the Klamath River. And one day when we were up there, we went up to Crater Lake, and it was breathtaking. One of the deepest lakes in the United States. But here's one of the wonderful things about Crater Lake, if you don't know about Crater Lake, is that Crater Lake is potentially the body of water with the least amount of human impact upon it. Crater Lake, being that it's this crater, it's actually a pretty strenuous hike to be able to get down to the water. You actually have to be pretty talented to be able to go what seems like forever down the rocky path to get down to the water. And you're very limited in what you can take with you. And on this lake, there are just two boats that are on it. Two boats that you can pay to take a tour around it that are very limited in the motor that they use to be able to have the impact on it. And one of the things that this lack of human contact has done to Crater Lake is that it has kept that water so pristine. You look at it and it doesn't seem that deep because that water is so incredibly clear that you can see right down to the bottom. And I sat and I meditated on this as we sat at one of the lookout points and thought, this lake right here, this lake in all its wonder and glory and splendor, gives us a glimpse of what creation looked like when God first created it, before we impacted it and lived on it and made it what it is today. And yes, humans, we have put some tremendous improvements upon it and the things that we've done. But on this Earth Sunday, we cannot deny the impact that we've had upon it. Dr. Seuss saw the impact. If you don't know the story of the Lorax, it was published in 1971. When Dr. Seuss felt like a message needed to be sent of the impact that humanity was having on the earth, desiring to encourage people and persuade people to make better decisions to persuade it. And one really incredibly smart member of a church that I had before I got here told me, "Pastor Stacy, anything important that you want people in the church to hear, tell them through the children's time, because that's what they hear the most." And I think Dr. Seuss knew that one, because he had a message that he wanted adults to hear. And where did he tell it? Through the eyes of a child and a story for them. The Lorax. It tells us about our earth and our commitment to it. And where do we see this about children? But our story this morning in the Bible, where does it start? But bringing children to Jesus, bringing them to be blessed, bringing them to be prayed for. And people wanted to keep those kids away from Jesus. And twice over in the Gospels, we have important stories about children coming to Jesus. And here in this section of Matthew in chapter 19, what is his message? But let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. In another place, Jesus tells us that if we want to see heaven, we must become like little children. Jesus sees the importance of children, sees the importance of their eyes of wonder and how it is that they see this world, and invites us to be like them. The whimsical nature, the fun stories, the made-up characters like Loraxes and Thneeds and Onceslers. But what does it remind us but of our responsibility to this earth that we live in? Today we do have a Lorax. Today we have many a Lorax, but one in particular, one that with bravery and courage has been speaking up for our planet. And though slightly controversial, young Greta from Sweden is trying with all of her might to defend our earth and to work to get us to take care of it better. One quote that I found of hers says that humanity is now standing at a crossroads. We must now decide which path we want to take. How do we want the living conditions for all species to be like? What intelligence and courage in such a young girl. But here she sees this crossroads and this decision that we must make. There's a young man in our story today who was at such a crossroads. Here he was able to approach Jesus. Here he had that opportunity to ask him anything. And he asks him, teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life? What good things must I do? How do I work to get into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus' first answer is, well, obey the laws, right? Love your neighbor, respect your parents, don't murder people, right? Obey the commandments. And he says, well, I've kept all these things. I follow the rules. I do what I'm supposed to, but what am I still lacking? Notice that he sees that there's something more that he could be doing. And what does Jesus tell him? If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. He says, let go of everything you own. Get to where it's just you with nothing that can hinder your walk with me, and then come follow me. And what happens? But it says this young man walks away disappointed because he had much wealth. His money, his possessions, the things that he had acquired were too valuable in his mind to let go of, to truly and fully follow Christ. Now, why do I bring this story today? Because this rich young man is not much different than the owner of the factory making Thneeds in the Lorax, putting his desire for wealth above the responsibility of the earth and the care for it, putting what he wanted above everything else. And today we are challenged at this crossroad, just like this rich young man, just like young Greta challenges us, just like the Lorax challenges us, of where our priorities are, of where our responsibility is, whether it's to ourselves, whether it's to all humanity, and whether it's to the earth. What do I see as we go all the way back in the Bible, back to the very beginning? What do we see? But human beings were created and put on this earth, and God says, I give you responsibility and the role of caring for this earth that I have gifted you, this earth that I have perfectly made. And we look at ourselves today and see that we are still the ones responsible for the earth, for the trees, for the grass, for the water, for the birds, for the animals, for the air. And we must ask ourselves how well we are doing. If we go back to a childlike existence and we think about grades, are we getting an A in our care for the earth? Are we getting a C, an average? Or are we failing in following our duty of caring for the earth? Searching through the scriptures, I wandered into Leviticus, not something we often do, not a book we spend much time in, but I found in the 25th chapter, as God is giving all of these rules for how it is that we are to exist as community, how it is that we are to exist in right relationship with God, and what does it say? But the Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. The land is to have a year of rest. We need our rest time. We need our recoup time. We need our healing time. We all know that. But how do we work to give the earth the same? It's kind of amazing what's going on right now. To be seeing the pictures of downtown LA and to see the smog clearing, to see the pictures that are showing animals re-emerging into areas that they vacated because of human use, to see how clear the water is getting. What are we seeing? But one of the benefits of this stay at home, besides that it's protecting us and our loved ones as best as possible, but it's giving our earth a Sabbath rest. It's allowing it to have a time of healing and recuperation. It's allowing it to heal so it can give to us the best home possible. That's a praise that we can give to God in this, as we try to see what the benefits are of this time of quarantine, is to see the benefit that it's giving our earth. Because what is the earth? The earth is a witness of God. The earth is where we can truly see God and the magnitude and wonder of our Creator. And so on this day, we ask ourselves of what are we doing to play our part in caring for our earth and use it not just as a means to receive what we need, but how we use it as a means for celebrating and worshiping God in how we take care of it and love it in such a way that it will be beautiful for all of the generations to come. Let's think how it is that we can seek to walk more gently upon this earth in such a way to preserve the beauty of God. I thought of a few suggestions, and I wondered if you would too. I'll give mine, and I encourage you to comment and share with others your ideas of how we can act in a responsible and caring and loving way to our earth. The first that I thought of, it makes me think of like how we teach our children about a buffet, right? What do? You take only what you can eat, right? So that you do not waste. So how with our earth and the resources that it has, how do we work to take only what we need? We've been preaching that a lot about toilet paper, but how do we take that to all the extents of the earth, of taking from it just what we need so that we can preserve it for others and for what it needs in its rest? How is it that we can seek to do our best to replace what we take? How is it that we can work to give back to the earth what the earth gives to us? How is it that we can leave the smallest of footprints? I think about growing up, and I walked to high school my first 2 years. And as I walked down this big road to the street that the school was on, you had to turn a corner. And it had this big grass area on that corner before the hill. And one thing that was happening is so many people would come down that hill and onto that street and back that they would cut that corner. Well, after all that time of people cutting that corner and walking upon the grass, what happened? But the grass stopped growing. And all of a sudden, there was a little path that went along, and that path got bigger and bigger as people trotted along it. Eventually, the city wised up and put a concrete pathway through there for people to cut so that they would stop walking upon the grass. But I look at that image and think, those were our footprints, probably mine. I'm sure I cut that corner once or twice or 1,000 times. But to save me time and energy, I trotted upon the grass, slowly contributing to killing it when I could have just walked the corner and taken the time. Where are the ways in our daily and yearly lives that we can inconvenience ourselves just a little bit? To not cut the corner, but to have a smaller footprint of impact on this earth and the ways that we show where we've been. And finally, I'm gonna say it, reduce, reuse, recycle, right? It's one of the oldest sayings that we have. We stick it everywhere, but there's a reason for that. How is it that we are following these three simple R's? Reducing what we use, finding ways to reuse what we have, and finding ways to recycle and repurpose so that we put the least amount of what we take into the landfills, the trash, and into the earth in such a way that it will not grow once again. My friends, today is a day that we celebrate what God has given us, that this is a beautiful earth that we get to call home, and we are the beautiful people that God has put upon it. Let us today celebrate in some way this earth that God has given us, to look at pictures, to look at videos, to take a walk outside, and to give thanks to God for the beauty of the earth. And let us not just today, but every day, seek to find ways that we can be the best caregivers of this earth that we can, to see like the Lorax, and to remember, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, things won't get better. They simply will not. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the beauty of this earth, and we give you thanks that you saw in us the capability and ability to care for this earth, to be the stewards of it. For such a job and such a home, we give you our thanks and praise and ask that by your Holy Spirit, you will help us to see how it is that we can be the best stewards of this earth, of how it is that we can seek to keep the air and the water as clean as possible, of how it is that we can keep the grass and the trees and the flowers growing for the beauty and the shade and the oxygen that they provide, of how it is that we can reduce our impact and our footprint to be able to preserve the beauty of you that is in this earth all around us. For all of this, we give you our praise and thanks. Amen.